Man, doesn't it feel good to be here this morning? I was just sitting there thinking as we were worshiping God today, and you know, as a baptized believer, we're told in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that when we give our life to Christ, that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so in one sense, God is always with us. But the Bible also talks about when two or three are gathered in His name, God says, I'm there. And so in times like this where the church comes together, there's something special that takes place. Something different. God's presence is here with us today. And after the week that we've had, that feels pretty good, right? To be near God. Well, over the last couple of weeks, for those of you who are visiting with us today, or maybe you're tuning in for the first time live online, we've been in a series entitled The Greatest of All Time. And in this series, really what we're doing is we're answering the question, is God greater than our greatest challenges that we face in this life? And so in week number one, we talked about how God is greater than our circumstances. And then last week, we talked about how God is even greater than our doubts. And today, and I felt like this was the perfect timing to really speak on this subject. But today we're going to be talking about suffering, because I think that most of us are familiar with suffering, even in our own lives, right? I mean, all of us to some extent have experienced hardships. We've experienced difficulties in our life. And here's what we need to understand, and here's what we need to know. In times like that, God is greater than even our suffering. And this is important to know, because there are going to be people in this world who are going to suffer, and they're going to come to us as Christians, and they're going to ask the question, if God is so good and God is so powerful, then why does He allow all this suffering in the world? And really, I think as Christians, we can answer with at least two answers. First of all, number one, God didn't choose suffering for His story. In other words, He didn't write suffering into the script. Right? The author of all things did not bring suffering into the plot. Rather, it was the very first actor, which is Adam. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought what, church? Death. So death spread to who? To everyone, for everyone sinned. And so understand what Paul is saying. Paul is saying when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And it's because of sin that there is so much suffering in the world. We've talked about this before. There are people who look at God's word and they're like, man, this is just insane. Basically, if there is a God, He's just trying to boss us around. He's just trying to tell us what we can and cannot do. And that's not the case at all. Listen, this is a love letter. And God is saying, listen, I want you to stay away from this, and I want you to do this because I love you, because sin will absolutely ravage and destroy your life and the lives of those around you, and people suffer. And that's true of believers and unbelievers. For example, if some of you like to farm, you know that whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you're going to have weeds and thorns come up, right? For those of you ladies who have gotten pregnant, You know that whether you are a believer or a non-believer, there is pain in childbirth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right. Even Jesus affirmed that suffering is going to be a part of our reality here on this earth until He comes back. That's why He goes on to say in Matthew chapter 25 to those of us who were His followers, He says, I want you to go out and I want you to minister to those who are sick. And to those who don't have any food, I want you to give them food. To those who don't have anything to drink, I want you to give them something to drink. And to those who don't have any clothes to put on, I want you to give them clothing. And as you do this for others in the world, He says, you're really doing it for me. But the point is, this is our world, right? Where people are sick and hungry and thirsty and without clothes. And it's not the world God intended, but neither is it the world that God abandoned. But even though God didn't choose suffering for His story, God can use suffering for His glory. Now, I don't believe that God predetermines all our suffering, right? I think most of our pain comes from just living in what I've already described, a fallen world. But I do believe that God can accomplish His purposes in spite of and sometimes through our suffering. Now, we have to be careful when we're explaining this to others, okay? Especially when someone's going through some sort of suffering. Notice I didn't say that suffering is good. But rather, good can come even from suffering. And the reason why is because our God is bigger than our suffering. I mean, even our wounds can present opportunities for growth and for fresh experiences of God. And I think that we're probably going to see a lot of this come out over the next couple of weeks and months and maybe even years for, you know, this hurricane that has created so much devastation and suffering. I know for me personally, you guys know, or at least most of you know, that Julie and I, we lost a baby, our very first child. And most of you know that our third daughter, Charleston, came down with a very rare disease called Kawasaki disease years ago when she was little, and it's life-threatening. I mean, if you don't get the right medicine or medical care in time, your heart will just completely explode. And so there have been times where our family has experienced hardship and suffering, but I got to tell you, through those times, man, God was so faithful. And it was through those times that God just, He drew us in. You guys have heard me say, sometimes God doesn't pull us out of the pit. Sometimes He gets down in the pit with us. And He just showers us with His presence. I think a great biblical example of this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Corinth in his second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. You can look at it yourself. And he's talking about some of these things that God has privileged him to see. He says, I've been given visions of heaven. And he said, man, the things that I saw, he says, first of all, I can't even put them into words. But he said, secondly, even if I could, he says, I'm not permitted to tell you about them. And that's a great privilege. But it comes with a temptation, which is pride. And so look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. He said, so that I would not become too, what church? Proud of the wonderful things that were shown to me, a painful physical problem was given to me. This problem was a messenger from Satan sent to beat me and to keep me from being too, what, church? Proud. I begged the Lord 3 times to take this problem away from me, but he said to me, my grace is enough for you. When you are what? Weak, my power is made perfect in you. So I'm very happy to brag about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can live in me. Notice, my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, my power is made perfect. Now, oftentimes what we think is, man, it's through God's strength, right? In me, my talents, my gifts, that I really, you know, have an opportunity, a platform to bring glory to God. Like you see these athletes who just threw the game-winning touchdown or maybe hit the home run, and then they're being interviewed afterward, and the very first thing they say is, I just want to first of all thank my God. And that is wonderful. That is awesome. But what happens if they lose the game? What happens if they strike out or they drop the ball? How many of those same athletes stand before the media and say, first of all, I want to give glory to God? It's, God, take my talent, take my blessing, take my moment when I'm getting applauded by the crowd and use it for your glory. But what about in times of suffering when things aren't going well? In other words, we want God to get the glory from our strength, and God says, wait a second, what if I could get more glory from your weaknesses? I don't know how many of you guys have heard of Bethany Hamilton. I'm sure most of you have. She was a world-class surfer at the age of 14 years old. As she was out surfing, a shark came up and bit off her arm. And man, she's just got this powerful testimony as a Christian in everything that she went through. In fact, they made a movie that our family was able to see several years ago called Soul Surfer. Some of you may have seen that movie. But she just has this powerful testimony through the suffering, the hardship that she went through. Now, here's the deal. I know that Bethany Hamilton would never say, I'm glad that happened to me. And I know that she would never say to anyone, I hope that happens to you. But what she would say, in that moment of weakness, was that she was given a platform to glorify God. In fact, here's her exact words. I have been able to embrace more people with one arm than I ever did with two. Because God is greater than our suffering. You see, we know 2 things. First of all, God will do what is best, right? But do we understand this? We don't always know in advance what God's best is. Right? That's why when we pray, especially during times of hardship, God, I'm just praying your will be done. Because we talked in lesson number 1, right? His ways are higher than our ways. Our perspective is limited to what we see here on this earth. But God, who is from beginning to end, that's His perspective. He sees everything. And so God knows what's best, but we don't. And so that's where faith comes in. I have faith in a God who is greater than my suffering, and because of that, I believe God can remove my suffering. I mean, we see that all through the Gospels, right? I mean, we see Jesus come up on people who are suffering, whether they're sick or whether they're demon-possessed, and Jesus heals them. In fact, he is invading the domain of Satan and pushing back his illegitimate rule. You see, when Jesus healed disease, when he cast out demons, he was announcing that there is a new king in town. And we see this connection throughout the Gospels. For example, in Luke chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "Then he," that's Jesus, "sent them," that's his disciples, "out to tell everyone about" what? "The kingdom of God," and "to" what? "And to heal the sick." Notice the connection, right? Jesus would oftentimes heal, cast out demons, do away with suffering, right? To say, there's a new reign. That's why in the Gospels, Jesus does as much touching as he does teaching. Why was healing so important to Jesus? And I think the question a lot of people ask today, even Christians, is it still important to Jesus today? Some of you may have grown up in a church where you were told, well, you know, Jesus, he healed back then, but he doesn't heal today, because the reason he healed back then is now over. But have you ever studied why Jesus healed? There are several reasons as you really get into that and you begin to study the healings of Jesus and why he did those things. Here's at least five. First of all, to authenticate his identity so that people would know who he was, so that they would know he was the Son of God, the Messiah. He also healed to illustrate his authority. In Matthew chapter 9, there's this guy who is brought by his friends, lowered down through the ceiling, right? I mean, he's paralyzed, and Jesus comes up to him and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And he said, "To make sure that you know that I have the authority to forgive your sins," he says, "take up your mat and walk. Be healed." Also, to demonstrate compassion, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, it's just one example. Jesus comes up on a crowd, and the Bible says he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Also, to validate someone's faith. You know, oftentimes when Jesus would heal, like with the lepers and the blind man and even the woman who had the issue of blood, Jesus would look at him and say, "Your what? Your faith has made you well." And then lastly, to stimulate the praise of God, Jesus would heal and people were like, "Man, we've never seen anything like this before." And the Bible says that they would start praising God. We see that in Matthew chapter 9. But of those five things, which do you think God wants to do away with? Listen, Jesus still wants you to know who he is. He still wants you to know he has authority. He still has compassion on his children. He still validates faith. And he still wants us to praise God. In fact, find me a verse where it says that God has stopped that. Listen, I believe that all healing is divine healing. Some people say, well, no, there's normal healing and there is divine healing. No, I believe all healing is divine because it all comes from God. Are you with me? In fact, did you know that the healing we get the most We don't even realize that it's going on. God so marvelously designed our body so that 90% of the diseases that we are exposed to, our body just fights off and we don't even know it's going on. That's divine. That's from God. When we do get sick and we go to a doctor and that doctor uses his skill and he uses his medicines on us, let me tell you something, that is divine healing. Where do you think the medicine came from? Where do you think the doctor got his skills from? Listen, God gets the glory and the doctor gets the money, right? It's divine healing. But sometimes God heals with supernatural intervention, and the church is right to ask for that. In fact, we're told to. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. As long as I've been here, which is nearly 10 years, our elders have practiced this. They have prayed for the sick. They have anointed many with oil because they believe that God still has and still dispenses His power to remove suffering. But let me tell you something our elders also know. What's in God's power is not always in His purpose. God is greater than suffering, and so He can remove suffering. But if He doesn't, then He can redeem suffering. You see, it is possible to be good and sick. In fact, if you look at the scriptures, many of the men who did ministry, who were ministry partners with Paul, were actually sick. Right? You have Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, you have Trophimus. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, you have Epaphroditus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. These guys all traveled with Paul, and every one of those guys were sick at times. And yet they hung out with Paul, who had this great power to heal. And we even look at Paul himself. Paul got sick. He wrote to the Galatians about it. Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. He said, "You did not mistreat me when I first preached the gospel to you. Surely you remember that I was what? I was sick when I first brought you the good news." And then he goes on to talk about how his condition, you kind of get the idea that it was kind of disgusting. I don't know if he had an infection in his eye or whatever. I mean, there were all kinds of speculations, but we know that he was sick. And what Paul would come later to realize is that the impact on his physical health was redeemed by the improvement in his spiritual health. You talk about a sovereign God. Satan wanted to attack Paul and take him down. God wanted to protect Paul from his pride. The very thing that brought down Satan, right? So God allowed the illness that Satan sent on Paul to keep Paul from falling to temptation and sin. And that is His sovereignty. Listen, the only way that we can know the sufficiency of God is to go through seasons of weakness. The only way we can ever find out that His grace is enough is not in spite of suffering, but in the midst of suffering. And a lot of you already know that, right? A lot of you have been through seasons in your life where you would admit, man, it was hard. It was tough. And I didn't want it, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone else. But as I look back, I now realize that it took me to places in my relationship with God that I would have never gone had I not gone through that. Paul would say, I've learned about the grace of God in a way I never could have known in my own strength. I think Paul would have wholeheartedly agreed with the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 71, who wrote, my suffering was, what, church? Good for me. For it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. But like Paul, I want you to know it's okay to ask God to take away your suffering. Paul asked God three times to take away his suffering. And so it's okay. God can deliver us from suffering, or he may choose to deliver us through suffering. And here's where we have to be careful. Is it possible to want healing more than we want God? You see, we worship a God who heals. We do not worship the God of health. It takes faith to be healed, and it takes faith to be sick. That's what we find in the story of Job, remember? Satan accuses Job, and he accuses you and I as well, as he stands before God. Job chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, he tells God, he says, they only serve you because they want a good life. And the question is that true? Or do we serve God because he's a good God? Let me mention one last thing, and this is important to remember. Suffering is temporary, but we are not. You can rest assured that the end of the story is going to end the same way it started. Suffering will not have the last word. You and I will outlive it. And Paul talks about this, and back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, he says, this is a reason we don't give up. Our human body is what, church? Wearing out, but our spirits are getting what, church? Stronger every day. Let's say that together. Let's say the underlying part together on the count of three. One, two, three. But our spirits are getting stronger every day. The flesh, the body gets weak, but the spirit gets stronger. The little troubles we suffer now for a short time are making us ready for the great things God is going to give us forever. We do not look at the things that can be seen. We look at the things that cannot be seen. The things that can be seen will come to an end, but the things that cannot be seen will last forever. Or Paul puts it like this in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. The Puritan Richard Baxter, in his last days, was visited by a friend who leaned over his bed and asked, how are you doing? In a labored whisper, he replied, friend, I'm nearly well. And it's great to be able to say that. You see, God's ultimate intention is not resuscitation, it's resurrection. And that's why I believe God still heals today. He's granting us a little preview of what's to come. His ultimate healing is on the way. Because we suffer. And there's more than one kind of suffering. Some of you this morning, you may be suffering with emotional suffering. And David says that God heals the brokenhearted. Psalm 147, verse 3. Some of you may need spiritual healing. And John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if you confess your sins to Him, that He is faithful to forgive you of your sins. Or it may be that you just need Jesus altogether. And I want you to know that today you can be baptized into Christ having all your sins. And we talked about sin. Remember, sin causes the suffering. Those sins, even from your past, can be washed away. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And you can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so today, whatever the case may be, we can pray for you, or maybe it's more of a private matter. You can leave a prayer up here on the cross, and we'll pray for you. Our elders will pray for you. Or it may be that, man, you want prayers right now from your church family. You've gone through a lot, and you need your church family to come alongside you and lift you up, and lift you up before God in prayer. Or maybe today that you're ready to give your life to Jesus. Whatever the case may be, won't you come today as together we stand as we sing.